Hey, you're listening to the Geeks for the Win podcast with your host, William, a.k.a. PoetXO44, and his co-host, Stuart, known across the internet as Casual Tiger, and maybe even a special guest or two. They will indulge your geeky fascination with movies, TV shows, video games, and comic books, anything and everything considered geek. And now over to William.
And welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. Today we are recording episode 21, and I'd like to introduce myself as, you know, William, a.k.a. PoetXO44, and I am joined with Stuart,
a.k.a. Casual Terror,
and our very special guest. She is a writer on this site. She goes by the name of Elf.
Hello.
Alrighty, and we asked her to come on the site because, or we asked her to come on today's podcast because, you know, we're doing a very special covering our top five animes, and she's very enthusiastic into anime, as it seems. So.
Yes, and she's also the reason that both Will and I have been on anime kick for the past couple weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. and she's the reason why I'm going to start watching Death Note, because she started talking about it, and then you started talking about it, Stuart, so got it. It's in my queue for Netflix, waiting to send, so. But I guess we can just get into the anime. We're going to cover our top fives, so I figured we could just go to one person does their top five, and then the next their top five, and so forth, because as I'm looking at Stuart, some of ours are kind of similar, so I don't know any of Elf's, but, you know, and it'll just flow better, I would think, but Elf, do you have any honorable mentions before we get into the top five?
Yeah, it was really hard to pick out just five. I think I have one favorite that everything else ties for second place. But I guess I have a couple of honorable mentions. Jubei-chan gets an honorable mention. Elfin Lied, Helsing, and Samurai Deeper Kyo. Those four didn't quite make it.
Alrighty. I've heard of two of them, so.
I've heard of none of them.
Really? You've never seen Helsing?
Wait, you've never seen Helsing?
That Van Helsing? Like,
guy, no.
Dracula?
Oh, dude, you just lost geek points. you lost geek points right there. You really need to get on Helsing.
Has it been on Adult Swim?
No.
Then,
that's shame. Shame.
That's really my main window into anime.
Dude, YouTube. Seriously, you can find anything on YouTube, at least anime. But, Stuart, what about your honorable mentions?
Okay, mine would have to be Gundam Wing. A lot of people don't like that Gundam series, but it was probably one of my favorites of all the Gundams.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never could do the mecha animes, and Gundam is the biggest one.
Yeah. See, I was really into Bleach for a while. So I've got to mention Bleach. And Fooly Cooly. That's got to be the weirdest one I've ever seen. I have no idea what it's about, so don't ask me. And I've seen them all. I still can't tell you what it's about.
Alrighty.
Ghost in the Shell. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
And I've always had a place in my heart for the Tenchi Muyo series.
I can see that.
Yeah. And is that it?
Yeah, that's it for my honorable mentions.
Alrighty. I have a couple. I just want to, not what most, you know, I guess not the action ones like most people would expect, you know, but, Chobits and Fruit Baskets. More of the, you know, I guess a lot of people would maybe consider them girly animes, but I don't care. I really enjoy them. They're pretty funny. And then the Inuyasha, that almost made my top five, almost. And then Outlaw Star.
Outlaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I saw this on the list, I'm like, Outlaw Star, I remember that name. So I went and watched an episode. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember watching this and really liking this.
Yeah, that's another one that, you know, came really close. And, you know, if time would allow us, I'm sure we all could, you know, just do our top 50 animes. But, you know, we had to narrow it down, so. I guess we can get into our top five. Elf, you want to go?
Sure, I can go. I'll save the ultimate favorite for last, but I gotta throw in Death Note, made the top five, of course. I mean, the anime was just brilliantly done. The first half better than the second half, I thought. The second season,
I definitely see that.
And I blame that on me being a gigantic L fan.
Yeah, L was one of my favorite characters.
Mm-hmm. Chobits made the top five for me. Girly anime or not, I have to agree, it's awesome. And the manga is even better if you haven't read it, by the way. But the anime did an extremely good job of translating. What is
Chobits about? I've never heard of it.
It's about, what's a good word for it? At the time of the anime, which is now, they have what they call persicoms, which are personal computers, only they're shaped like people. I mean, you've seen prototypes of them currently, I'm sure, over in Japan. They look kind of creepy. But in Chobits, they can do all sorts of things. You can get special ones just for using in stores. You can get little miniature ones that fit in your hand. But they're called persicoms. They have an intelligence of their own. Supposedly, they can't have any feelings, and that they can only think about what they've been programmed to do. And a young man who didn't quite get into college and has to go study again and retake the test, he runs across one that's been thrown out. And he gets all excited because he could never afford one. And her name is Chi, and it's, if I tell any more, it's going to kind of get into it, but it's really cute and sweet, and he's such a pervert. I have to throw that in there. He really is. Every 5 minutes, I swear, he's thinking about sex again.
Yeah, but he's a pervert, but he also gets embarrassed easily about, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's funny.
Which leads to lots of nosebleeds.
Yes.
It took me until maybe last year to figure out what that meant.
So that's Chobits in a nutshell. It starts off kind of goofy, but by the end it has a much more serious slant to it.
Yeah, and it's rather short, so you could, you know, go through it pretty quickly.
I'm trying to think what else was on the list. Ayashi no Ceres, but I think most people know it by Ceres Celestial Legend. I'm not sure if either of you have heard about that one.
Oh, I've heard of it, yeah. I've watched a couple episodes of it.
I think I've seen the title.
It's really neat. It's a different take on a legend that's not just common to Japan. It's known in various cultures, like the legend of the Swan Maiden and so on. And it's good. It starts off kind of girly, and by the end, it's not nearly as girly and horribly serious. And like every anime, of course, it loves to do character death.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Trigun. That's definitely a number two.
Okay. That is both number three for me and Stuart, so we can get into a mini discussion on Trigun, I guess.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yes.
you want to start, Elf, since it's your number two?
What should I want to talk about with Trigun? The complexity of the characters, how you have to get past maybe the first four episodes before it really picks up a running plot. That was kind of fun. The first four episodes, I don't know, when I first watched it, I was unsure as to what was really going on because none of them seemed to really connect with each other.
Yeah.
Then after that, the plot formed. Did you guys have a favorite character? I mean, mine's obviously Vash, but Wolfwood's a close second.
Wolfwood's my favorite. Yeah. Just a little more, I like him a little more than Vash, but...
I'd have to say Vash was my favorite character.
Yeah, Vash, I think Wolfwood's a close second, but Legato might tie with him.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah. Legato was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm, very creepy. And then there was the music from the anime. They had two different releases in Japan, and then one combined release here in the U.S. of soundtracks. But the music was brilliant.
Yeah,
I really like that song that they kept singing throughout the series.
The Sound Life, the one that Rem sang.
Yeah.
I think the composer of it all was Suneo Imahori, if I remember correctly. And that one song had such a different sound almost from anything else. But he loved to use guitar, both like a wailing guitar and then very, I don't know, almost bluegrass sounds in some places.
Yeah.
Ignore the cat, thank you.
But yeah, it was another one of those short animes that it was only like 26 episodes, somewhere around there.
I think around that.
Yeah. And it had, like the first few episodes, like you said, it was kind of slow, but then it just hit into the story and it just, so much happened in, a few amount of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, when you found out about how Vash, I'm not going to really spoil it in case, but how you found out who he was and what he was, that was just, I didn't really expect that.
Yeah, that was kind of a mind blower to me too. I do find it interesting that they, the way they ended the anime, considering that the manga had not been finished at the time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think the manga, I'm not sure if it's done yet. At least it's not, I don't think, it may not all be out here in the U.S. I am missing a few volumes, so I'm unsure. But the anime ended well, they ended up well before the manga even really got going here in the U.S.
Huh, I didn't know that. I haven't read the manga yet, but...
It fills in a lot of gaps in the story. If you had questions, they're probably answered early on in the manga.
Interesting. I've been looking online, and I'm not sure, but is there a movie, a Japanese movie they're going to make and translate or not? I've seen something like a Trigun movie.
I swear I saw somebody took a clip with their phone at a Comic-Con or something about a movie for Trigun. I just haven't heard anything else about it.
Yeah, I think I saw a clip, too. It was like 2009, one of the Comic-Cons in 2009. That gets me excited.
I know. I can't wait to see if it actually happens and when it might get here. It's kind of like the excitement over Advent Children.
Yeah, definitely. But, alrighty, you're number one?
It's such a girly anime, and you guys are going to laugh at me, but it's Bushigi Yugi. See, I knew you'd laugh.
If I probably knew what that was, I'd probably laugh too.
I have many female friends who are in love with that series, so it's too bizarre for me. I couldn't get past a few episodes, but...
I'm surprised that any guy makes it past one episode with Miyaka in it. I mean, in the first season, she's annoying even to me.
Yeah.
It's not that bizarre, though. I mean, they get pulled into a book.
Yeah, I guess. But you want to explain it for casual?
Yeah, for me.
Okay. It's one of the longer running animes. The full series itself ran for 52 episodes, which was two seasons, and then had three separate OVA sections. One of them was 9 episodes long, I think. The other one was maybe 3. The basic plot is it's modern day Japan. Two girls are studying to get into their high school that they want to get into, which means lots of testing and such. One of them is named Miyaka. She's really not that great of a student. She thinks about food a lot. In fact, that's pretty much all she thinks about in the very beginning. Her best friend is Yui. Yui is very much the bookworm. Between the two girls, Yui's also the one that tends to have the most boyfriends and guys chasing her. Miyaka is kind of like a kid sister almost to her. But they go and they stop into the library, and while Yui's returning a book, Miyaka's getting some food from a vending machine, and she sees a phoenix, or she swears up and down she sees a phoenix, follows it. She and Yui end up in this room, a little restricted section, and a book falls off the shelf. They pick it up. They start to read it. It's called The Universe of the Four Gods. As soon as they open it and start reading the first lines are that the heroine of the story, you know, went through all these trials, was able to gain her wishes. By reading this story, you become the heroine, and they get sucked into the book. They end up in ancient China, and they get caught by slave traders. Yui gets sent back. Miyaka's there, and Yui continues to read the story, the book, and it's almost like a thing written as Miyaka is experiencing it. So Yui's able to, and she has a connection with Miyaka during this whole reading. And Miyaka doesn't know that Yui's gone back, so she goes on a hunt for her. She runs into a young man who only thinks about money but does save them from the slave traders named Tamahome. Follows him to the main capital of Konan, which is one of the four sections of China at the time. And a lot of it is based around Chinese and even Japanese astrology. In China, there were the four sections that were governed by four different, I guess, protective gods, or four different constellations. Suzaku, and these are the Japanese names for them, but Suzaku, Seryu, Genbu, and Byakko. Each one had a specific color that was associated with it and a beast animal that was associated with it. And within these four main groups of constellations, there were seven different signs, much like Virgo and all of that. They had signs like Tamahome, Hotohori, Tasuki, Chichiri. And I'm naming off the ones that belong to the main characters because those are the ones I remember best. But anyway, so the book happens. Miyaka goes through the book. She experiences adventures. It's the first season really is horrible in many ways. Miyaka's annoying. You really want to kill her and her high-pitched voice after a few episodes. But if you can stick through it, there's a lot more interesting characters that come into play. Noriko, Tasuki, Chichiri. Some of my favorites right there. The second season is much darker. And it's harder to sit through for other reasons. Once you get to the first and second OVAs, hopefully you're hooked by then. Those are definitely for a slightly older audience, which makes sense because at that point Miyaka is a couple years older. The third OVA, I think most Fushigi Yugi fans like to pretend that it never existed.
Huh. That bad?
Oh my god, I bought it simply because I'm a fan, and sometimes there are things that you have to own only because you're a fan, like the prequels of Star Wars. I only own them because I'm a fan. They don't ever actually get watched.
Wow.
But that's Fushigi Yugi. It's really girly. If you ever talk about a girly anime, that should be at the top of the list. Mm. And those are my favorites.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Stuart, you want to go next?
Okay, I guess I'll go in reverse order. Inuyasha is probably my number 5. I really liked, I just really liked it. I can't tell what I really liked about it. Just I really liked it.
Who was your favorite character?
I'm totally blanking on names. I don't know why. The monk.
I never got into
the adulterous monk. I just loved him.
Yeah.
Okay, just from that description, I like him.
Yeah, mine would probably have to be Sister Shomaru. Yeah. Inuyasha's brother, but okay.
And my number four, I'm not done with the series yet. Like, I actually have an episode paused right now. But the Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Oh my gosh, I'm in the middle of that too.
Wow, so you put it up against the original? Is it that better?
Yes.
Huh. I gotta watch that.
Since the entire series isn't dubbed yet, like, I'm actually going against what I say about, you know, dubbed and going, I'm watching subbed.
Yes. Sorry, was that out loud?
But, yeah, it's very good. Like, I'm, you know, it's the final battle. I'm in the middle of it.
Oh, wow.
So.
Nice. I think I'm only on episode 19.
Yeah, I'm on 59.
Wow.
Okay, so it's a longer anime. Okay, that's good.
It's 64 episodes. So. My number three is Trigun. You know, we've talked about Trigun. Oh, and I'd like to mention that the guy who dubbed for Vash was the Black Power Ranger, Adam.
Oh, God.
I grew up with Power Rangers.
Really?
Yes.
I can't picture that. Wow.
And he's also the voice for Ichigo and Bleach.
Okay.
Interesting.
He's like the one English voice actor that I actually enjoy. I thought he did a really good job of communicating the personality.
Yeah. My number two is Death Note.
Yay.
I love Death Note.
Any particular thing you liked best about Death Note?
Kind of how dark it was. And just, you know, like, really, like, if you really did find a notebook where you just write somebody's name and think of their face and then they die, would you not become Kira? Like, would you not do that yourself?
I don't know. I'd like to think that I wouldn't. But then again, I probably wouldn't know until I actually had the notebook in front of me. And obviously you'd have to try it out. And then once you tried it.
Exactly.
Huh. Now, that, just by saying that, that has me totally intrigued. I have to watch this.
Oh, you actually haven't started it yet.
Oh, no, I haven't. I was just finishing up another series earlier this week, so.
Well, basically there's this notebook where you write somebody's name down and think of their face, and then they die. Right, yep. Then and there.
Well, within 40 seconds, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of rules that, you know, you can't do with it.
It brings into account a lot of questions of, like, what is justice? And who is best to deal to met out that justice?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I think I'm going to save my number one for after William does his top five, because ours is exactly the same.
Okay.
Okay, I guess I'll do reverse order as well. Number five would be Rurouni Kenshin.
Mm-hmm.
I love this series, and, you know, the anime totally got me started in the manga, and I need to pick the manga back up, because I've stopped reading, like, altogether, everything besides my textbooks, because that's all I have time for. But, I don't know, it's just, most animes I like, I like futuristic types or present day, but this is one of the few exceptions. The next one would have to be one that a lot of people have not heard of, but I absolutely love this one, Dian Angel.
I have heard of it, I haven't watched a whole lot of it though.
I think I've heard the name, actually.
It's amazing. I actually picked this manga up first and read it, and then discovered the anime, and it's just amazing. I mean, it's funny how the main character has this like alter ego from when he turns like I think 14. He turns into this legendary phantom thief known as Dark, and it's just hilarious because he turns into this the only way he can get rid of it is if he's accepted by the one he truly loves, and the one he truly loves has like only thinks of him as a friend, and you have that whole awkward, you know, awkwardness right there, and he ends up
in there.
He ends up falling for that girl's twin sister, and it's just hilarious. But yeah, I would definitely recommend. It's another short one, only like 20 something episode. Third is Trigun, of course. And
that has to be on the list.
Definitely. And number two is, I just watched all 112 episodes of this in like 2 weeks. Yu Yu Hakusho. By far one of my favorites. Just, I'm real big into animes where there's action and, you know, fighting and stuff. I guess that's because I'm a guy. But it's just really great. And it also gets into the emotional sides of things because, like, the main character, Yusuke Urameshi, he finds his strength when it's tied to his emotions. Like, if an enemy, like, ends up killing one of his friends or killing someone near him or hurting someone near him, that's where he just goes crazy and gets his strength. So, you know, his struggle to find the balance between his emotions and his power is just, I don't know. I just enjoyed that side of it. But,
I couldn't really get into Yu Yu Hakusho that much. I mean, I did watch, like, a bunch of the episodes. Like, I probably watched well over half of them. But I really couldn't get into it that much, so.
I don't know. I caught a lot of them on Cartoon Network when about a few years ago. I had no idea that the series was that long, though. From what I saw, it was interesting. They were good one-shot episodes, but I don't know. Maybe I'd have to sit down and watch it from the beginning.
Yeah, and they're all on YouTube. So that's where I watched all of them. Just like I did back in junior high. And my number one is, I guess, yeah, Stuart's number one, Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, my.
Just, I mean, it's another one because, you know, I guess it's because I'm a guy and you know, action and fighting and whatnot. But this was by far probably one of the longest animes there is.
No. No.
I said one of them. It's like 300 and something episodes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I think. I've
seen every single one.
Multiple times. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that was one I could never sit through.
Well, it's one of the first ones that I think they put on Cartoon Network, so it introduced me to anime like over 10 years ago, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it was first put on Cartoon Network 20 years ago. It's actually that old. I just recently found out it's that old.
Wow.
No, it's like 25 years ago in Japan. It was created 25 years ago in Japan.
No, but you know, but it was put on Cartoon Network 20 years ago.
Not that long ago, dude. Because I remember
1988.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because I remember, like 10 years ago being a kid and seeing the new VHS tapes, you know, every month there'd be like a new VHS tape released because...
It didn't become popular until, you know, about 10 years ago.
Yeah, anime didn't catch on even until, you know, over here in the U.S., until more recently.
But like they just played the Frieza saga over and over and over again. It never went any further than that. Like, I remember being five and watching it. Huh. Not knowing what's going on, but I remember watching it.
That's crazy. I never knew that. Wow.
So that was your first anime, that was the first one you ever saw, or the one that just got you hooked into it?
Both.
The one that got me hooked into it.
All right, I got to ask y'all a question. Have you guys ever seen an old anime called Unico and the Magic Island, or The Adventures of Unico?
Can't say I have.
If you get a chance to look up Unico and the Island of Magic, or the Magical Island, or look up Unico and then Kuruku, K-U-R-U-R, I don't know, Kuruku, it's all spelled with K's and R's in use. Look it up. It's really old, and I remember this back in 1984, I want to say. It's creepy. It's old. This is the only one I'll watch dubbed. But you will have nightmares about puppets. Just trust me.
Gotcha.
Puppet nightmare.
I love how you guys both picked a typical guy anime, and I picked a typical girl anime for our number ones.
Well, yeah. Wow. I mean, I picked as my number one because it was the one that got me hooked on all the other animes, and it knew how to stretch out, you know, a story with, and, you know, every time I would watch an episode, it would always, you know, end a certain way, and I'd want to just watch the next episode. And sometimes, or when I first started watching it was, you know, on Cartoon Network, of course, and I'd have to wait the next day. And, you know, as a kid, that, you know, a day is too long, so...
Yes, and I've always loved the fact that it took them, you know, a week, you know, 30-minute episodes, you know, a week to get through 15 minutes. I always loved that.
Yeah, and it took like 20, 25 episodes to get through a short battle.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, they knew how to stretch it, and I guess I would say they stretched it to show the detail of everything. And, I mean, yeah, I really enjoyed this one.
I think you guys have more patience than I do. I get upset if I don't even come to some sort of conclusion by the end of 30 minutes. Wait, during my honorable mentions, one of you said that you recognized two of them, and I'm guessing Chobits was one of them. But was the other one that you recognized?
Wasn't Chobits one of your top five?
No, I'm pretty sure that Death Note knocked it out into an honorable mention.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it did.
Helsing, I said, and I can't remember the other one you said, but one of the other ones I had heard of.
If you like Kenshin, you'd probably like Samurai Deeper Kyo.
Okay.
I'd highly recommend giving that a try. It's an older it's not older, but it's set in samurai times. But how can you not like a main character that's called Demonized Kyo?
I don't know. I'll definitely give that a shot after Death Note.
Mm-hmm. And if either of you like bloody animes, I mean, lots of blood. Blood everywhere. Elfin Lied.
Okay, that's the other one I heard of, yeah. That was in your honorable mentions, okay. But, any other animes, I guess, since we have a little bit of time left?
I'm looking at my shelf. Blade of the Immortal is one that's just come out. Highly recommend that.
Okay, adding it to the list.
Well, you mentioned one on Twitter that I haven't heard of for a long time. Closed Case.
Oh, wow.
Or Case Closed.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what got me, but all of a sudden I just thought of that. It just popped in my head. And
I looked it up. Like, you know, how many episodes are there?
Yeah, that's
they're
a long one.
They're not done.
Yeah.
They're not done. And it's been going on. Like, they're on season 19.
Yeah.
It's into 500 episodes.
Yeah, I knew that was a long one, but that was another one they would put on, like, I think Adult Swim a while back.
Yeah, it was either on Adult Swim or Tsunami.
Yeah, I think it was Adult Swim at the time, but have you ever seen any of it?
Mm-mm. Never seen a single episode of that, but the idea of something that spans 500 episodes is intriguing.
Well, like, I don't know how they could go that long. And, like, I don't know if, you know, like, okay, the very first episode, it's about this detective, this, you know, 17-year-old detective. He's very, very good. And his idol is Sherlock Holmes. He wants to be just like him. But he ends up sticking his nose in a place where he shouldn't have. And he gets taken out by these two guys and given him what, poison, supposedly?
Yeah, poison.
But it didn't quite work, and it made him become a little kid again. So, like, he has to... So he's still solving crimes as a little kid, but, you know, he's not letting, you know, his girlfriend know exactly who he is or...
Yeah, and he's following his girlfriend's dad, who's also
who's
a detective.
Not quite good.
Yeah, and he's getting all the credit from, you know, the cases that the main character is solving, and he's also living with his girlfriend and the detective as, like, a cousin or to...
I don't know exactly. I forget what his cover was.
Yeah, but it's pretty good and very enjoyable. And I don't know why. I just automatically just thought of that and thought I'd, you know, start watching it again because I know they stopped showing it. And
yeah,
I didn't know they
were
still
it,
making
like,
it.
Yeah.
I knew there was like 500 episodes, but they're still making it. Wow.
The last episode was September 30th.
That's impressive. I'm not sure if I'm ever.
I'm
not sure if I'm ever gonna finish the whole series. Maybe. Maybe when they finally.
18 seasons? There were 18 seasons.
Yeah.
And 14 films.
Yeah.
And 18 video games.
Yeah, so this is probably one of the most popular ones, I'm guessing.
I am so checking this out.
Yeah, it's definitely worth giving a try. I mean, there's a lot of humor in this one, and
mm-hmm.
I like the way the look of it. It's not the typical, you know, anime look to it.
No, it's. I've only seen one other anime have that kind of style, and even that anime took it to an extreme.
What anime was that?
Milk Shin-Chan.
Okay.
It's very goofy.
But yeah, God, that's crazy. What else? I can't think of any others that haven't already been mentioned.
Oh, if you watch Hellsing, start with the original series first, the first 13 episodes, then go on to Hellsing Ultimate.
Wait, there's another series of Hellsing?
The first 13 episodes, like Trigun, were made and finished off before the manga ever finished. I mean, the manga was still in the middle of battling Nazis at that point. But they went ahead and they made an OVA called Hellsing Ultimate that basically reboots it and follows the manga much closer. That's currently still being released, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, I've only seen the first 13 episodes, and I got mad because it was only 13 episodes.
Yeah, they're coming out with more that follows the plot line better, and hopefully we'll reach the same conclusion the manga did, because the manga is now finished.
Yeah. Okay. That's added to my list. What else? Yeah, I would... Elf, I have a question. Have you ever watched Dot Hack Sign?
I've seen a couple episodes. Again, I don't have TV, and I don't usually have time to sit down on YouTube. I wait till people recommend them to me, and then I go Netflix them.
Yeah, I was talking to Stuart about that before. It's a it's an interesting anime. The premise of it basically is they're all in like a virtual reality, you know, MMO type game.
Mm-hmm.
And the main character is like stuck in the game and can't get out. And for some reason, and I think he doesn't really know who he is, if I'm remembering correctly. And
it's been a while.
Yeah, and it's really good. I definitely would make sure if you check it out to check out the original and not the they made a second series to it.
Okay.
The second series is just god awful.
All right, so I'll stick with the first one on Dot Hack Sign. Okay.
Yeah.
Can do that.
But that's all I have for anime. Any of you two have anything else?
I had something and it completely slipped my mind. Oh, dear. I hate when things do that. Another one I'd recommend, it's slightly older, it's kind of goofy, it's called Gokudo. It's sort of an action-adventure one. It's a horribly goofy comedy with one dude who's a genie that I think also turns into a woman, and there's a panda that walks around and turns into something else. It's great.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, at least it's not just a plain old girly anime, so that's why I can recommend that one. Vice Cruise is another good one, Night Hunters. Very dark. It's sort of girly, but not really. Girls watch it simply because of the Bishonen in it, but the plot lines, luckily, aren't girly.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's another... What the one I was had in my head right before all that. And I've lost it completely.
Well, I've got a long list of anime to watch whenever I get around time to watching stuff. Which is never a bad problem to have.
And if you're ever just looking in the mood for an anime but you don't know what, I would recommend Hulu.
Oh, yes. I have tons mm-hmm. of anime queued up on Hulu.
Don't they still have all of the subtitled Death Note on there? They did the last time I checked. That was really awesome.
Probably. Yeah, like they're doing both subbed and dubbed stuff.
For those people who aren't snobs like me.
Yeah. Actually, you want to get into that a little bit for the people who haven't read your article on the site?
Why I prefer subbed versus dubbed?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know a lot of people don't like to read subtitles while they're trying to watch the action on the screen because it does distract a lot. And that's why most people prefer dubbing, or maybe they see it on Cartoon Network and they're just used to the English voices. But luckily with anime, unlike American cartoons, anime, the action in it and the action that's on screen doesn't happen very fast. There's not a lot of fast movements usually, except for maybe a fight sequence or two, and you're going to miss something even if you're not staring and reading subtitles. Most of it is very standstill. I mean, they don't even move very much besides their mouths. The rest of them is perfectly still, so you can have time to read the subtitles. But the biggest reason, I think my main reason for wanting subtitles, is that in Japan, when they make these animes, they go through a lot of trials to find the exact right seiyu, which is the Japanese word for voice actors, to fit the part, which is why in Fushigi Yugi especially, not only do all the characters' voices fit very well, even as annoying Mayaka may be in the very beginning, she kind of grows on you later, but all of the characters in Fushigi Yugi, all those seiyu, sing on the character vocal tracks that you hear sometimes throughout the series, and they put out like 20 different soundtracks with these people singing. If you listen only to the dubbed if you watch only the dubbed version, you'll never make that connection that this character is singing that particular track. It's kind of neat because each character track goes well with their personalities. Trigun's another big one for me in that the character of Vash, he's a big goof half the time and a gigantic dork, and then other times he's very serious. And the seiyuu that they have doing his voice, he's amazing. He can pull off that utter goofiness one second and then be down to earth and very serious and dark the next moment. I will give his English voice actor credit. He does a great job of doing it, too. He's the only one that I'll actually listen to without wincing and covering my ears.
Huh.
But it's just a matter of the fact that the English voices never fit right. They don't carry the inflection right. The tone is different. The emphasis is way off. It's either like they're trying too hard or they're not trying hard enough. And maybe I'm just biased that way. Maybe not, though. I mean, the first anime I ever watched was dubbed. But the very next anime I watched, you know, 20 years later turned out to be subtitled. So that might have had an effect on it. And it also helps that I deliberately went and took a couple years of Japanese, which helps out in the reading of the subtitles sometimes.
Huh. Yeah.
That would help.
Sometimes when you realize you're reading the subtitle and going, that's not what he's saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a personal preference. There's a local anime convention here, and I keep swearing up and down that if they got a Japanese seiyuu in there or a Japanese actor, they would have fangirls out the wazoo coming in for autographs. I mean, they had, and this is slightly embarrassing, last year I finally was able to go, and they introduced one gentleman as a voice actor, and he was waving around, and people were going crazy, and I'm like, why don't I recognize this name? It's because he was an English voice actor. He was the English voice of Wolfwood.
Oh, yeah.
Which is exciting for you guys, but I'd never heard his actual name. And so, I don't know, it's a personal preference. I have no problems reading subtitles. I even wear glasses and have no problems with the reading of the subtitles, mainly because I will rewatch an anime happily to see what happened if I missed something.
Yeah, I mentioned this a little before. My main thing about it is there's a lot of stuff that's lost in translation, not just the voice acting, but like they cut a lot of stuff because I guess Americans can't handle, you know, some of the crazy stuff the Japanese do with their anime. So I mean, when I really like a series, I'll go and watch the original with the subtitles because there's a lot of actual, you know, video footage that's just cut from it.
You know, I've never actually noticed that, mainly because I guess I don't watch a whole lot on TV. I watch mine mostly through DVDs. But I'd be curious to see what they actually do cut out.
Yeah, like, for example, Dragon Ball Z, there's a lot of, like, they've cut a lot of perverted moments in that series.
Yeah, there's full-on sex in that series in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, they've cut a lot of stuff to translate it, you know, for Americans, I mean. And it's just amusing. I mean, I've watched, you know, the entire series dubbed and subbed, and, you know, I gotta say, I liked it subbed better because of all this extra stuff that, you know, is added in the series.
Sounds kind of like Sailor Moon. I know there's a lot of stuff in there that is controversial for Americans. I guess they don't want kids to watch anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. That's another one I enjoyed. I don't care if it's girly or not. I enjoyed it. Actually, even though I watched it as a little kid, I guess maybe that's why. I haven't watched it since, but yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen Sailor Moon.
Same here.
Okay, I'm from the dubbed camp. For mainly this reason. I like to eat while I'm watching shows. And, you know, sometimes the subtitles go by really fast. And even when I'm staring at the screen, I'm not done with it yet. So, you know, and just, you know, eating while staring at the screen, I sometimes miss what I'm doing. And for the fact that, I guess I'm just used to voice actors, but Japanese voice actors, their voices are a bit higher than what I would imagine their voice, that character's voice would sound like.
and for the most part, I can understand that. If you check out Helsing, Odegaard's voice, definitely not higher.
Yeah.
Look at Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, the voice of Major Armstrong. And he's a bit high, but in the English version, it's a gruff guy reading those lines.
I have never listened to the Brotherhood in English. It's only been fan subbed. Oh, speaking of voice actors and interesting bits, in Trigun, have you watched Trigun subtitled?
Yes, I have.
I have not.
Give it a try and listen to the voice of Knives. He's, if anything might get you to watch Bushigi Yugi, the same Japanese voice actor that does the voice of Knives also does the voice of the main bad guy in Bushigi Yugi. Again, not exactly a high-pitched voice. He's got a lower voice, which is very cool, but he sings on the soundtracks. I'm pitching for subtitled here.
Definitely.
No, I can understand, though, the whole issue with the subtitles going by fast, even when it's the official American or released versions where it's supposed to not be nearly as fast. They still go by pretty quickly whenever the dialogue is just flying along. But that's when you rewatch.
Yeah, definitely since, during an argument or something where there's multiple lines of people talking at the same time,
mm-hmm.
No way you can get all that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still not convinced to rewatch it dubbed, though.
Well, to each their own, But, yeah, I guess that's it. I can't think of anything else to talk about anime at the moment.
Real quick, did somebody mention Blade of the Immortal?
I did.
It's on Hulu.
Really?
I don't know whether it's subbed or dubbed, but there's 13 episodes.
It's great. It's based on this amazing manga. The artwork is totally different from what most mangas are with the big eyes and all of that. This artwork, wow. Absolutely beautiful pencil sketching.
Yeah, and, I'm seeing one of them right now.
Oh, it's brilliant. And then I found out they were coming out with the anime. The main character of Manji is voiced by one of my favorite voice actors from Fushigi Yugi. And the voice is totally different, but you can still recognize him in it. There's only one weird thing about it. In the very first volume of the manga, there is a bad guy called Kuroi Sabato who writes poetry. And in the manga, it's written out just kind of like a little aside, almost like a footnote. It looks very beautiful, just casually right there. I warn you right now, because I feel I should warn people about this, in the anime, Kuroi Sabato sings it in traditional Japanese style, which is kind of totally makes you not think he's a badass anymore.
Interesting.
But check out the anime, all 13 episodes. I've only gotten through the first few, but I just picked up I bought the box set on eBay. So I'm going to be watching the rest of it. The manga's brilliant. I'm curious to see what they did with the rest of the anime.
Yeah. I got a quick question. I probably know the answer for you, Elf, but Stuart, do you read a lot of manga? Have you read mangas or? And if so, oh, you haven't?
No, I've. If there would be a manga I would pick up, it would be Fooly Cooly, to see what the hell is going on. Have any of you guys ever seen Fooly Cooly?
No, unfortunately, I have not. Oh, I was just talking about it on Sunday, though. A friend of mine was commenting on it.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I've just never seen it yet.
Like, there's just, like, the beginning of the episode, beginning of one of the episodes, like, a robot comes out of the forehead of one of the characters. No explanation. He's freaking out. This robot just comes out of his forehead.
And that's it? It just comes out of his forehead?
And then eats him? And then he becomes really a really powerful robot and fights a bad guy, and then he poops the cat out again.
I'm already confused.
Yeah. That... I don't know. That seems bizarre, but yeah.
It's a very bizarre show.
Personally, I like the mangas better than the animes because a lot of the times they go deeper than most animes. And so, you know, if you have a really good series you like, Stuart, I recommend checking out the mangas from them.
Yeah, I'm probably going to check out the Full Metal Alchemist, not mangas.
It might take you some getting used to reading it backwards, but...
Reading backwards. I've read Japanese comics.
Oh, okay.
They weren't mangas, but I've read them before.
Well, then you're good.
Yeah, because...
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, it takes getting used to, but once you get used to it, you can just read through them quickly.
Mm-hmm. My big concern would be if you're going to watch an anime or if you're in the middle of one, finish the anime first, then go for the manga, because sometimes you might find if you read the manga first and then watch the anime, you might be kind of disappointed by certain things being missing.
I'm probably going to finish Brotherhood tonight.
Already?
So.
I wish I was. I'm going to watch a musical tonight, actually.
Oh, fun. What musical?
The group of people I'm hanging out with, we're finishing up Into the Woods.
Oh, cool.
Yep, so no anime tonight, but probably anime by Friday.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I got stuff to do, so no anime for me. But I just got done watching the entire series of Yu Yu Hakusho, 112 episodes, so...
It's dedication.
It truly is. No, dedication is having the entire Dragon Ball Z series, 300 and something episodes, on VHS tapes. As I'm staring across the room.
Wow. How much space does that take up? Oh my gosh.
It takes up about, two bookshelves that are about 3 foot high.
Wow.
Three shelves on each bookshelf. So, yeah.
Wow, yeah, the only anime I have on VHS is Bandai, but, you know, we won't discuss that.
That's a different podcast.
That is. That's the podcast for late night.
I just have to say, really?
Wait, are you about the fact that I have it or that I have it on VHS?
I really don't want to say.
But, yeah, I mean, I need an upgrade to DVD. I seriously do. But, you know, I was a kid of the VHS tape, so, you know.
Sometimes you got to hang on to them. They mean a lot.
Definitely. And my TV still has a VHS player built in, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But
pray that it doesn't die.
Oh, I do. I do, because... Boy, will it be hard trying to find a VCR. But, I just want to thank you for coming on. I know you have to go about now.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's been fun to talk about anime. I'll have to do this again sometime.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, anytime you have you want to talk about something, you know, in detail, just let us know, and we'd be glad to have you on again.
Awesome!
Definitely. And, you know, for our listeners, you should check out the site. She posts a lot of great articles, and that's, I'm proud to say that's one of our best moments is, adding her to the site, because she's really helped a lot, and we thank you.
And female.
I'm yes. Feeling the love.
Yes.
Well, thanks, guys. It's been fun.
Oh, man, Anthony, look, the door was unlocked, man. I was knocking out there for a while, but nobody ever came, so hope you're cool with me just walking in.
Hello, Farm, man. I love these podcasts.
Anthony.
Great. Open Farm Radio.
Anthony. Dude, can you even hear me?
There's 10
Bro, I brought pizza. Your favorite, pepperoni humpers.
Man, they got so many.
Anthony.
Podcasts, dude. They're like awesome.
God, what are you so consumed with, dude? Listen, I got some big news. Big news. BioWare is going out of business. Sorry, man. I know that's like your favorite, but you know there's just some issues going on up top. They said there's nothing they can do. Can you hear me? Anthony.
Subscribe. Sports.
Dude, guess what? Joss Whedon just signed up for season 2 of Firefly.
Oh, to prove your point, yes. Yeah,
it's going to be on NBC, too, so we don't have to worry about Fox canceling them. Dude, can you hear me?
Subscribe.
Anthony. Dude, Christina Hendricks is in the living room waiting on you. I just thought you should know. Christina Hendricks in the living room waiting on you, dude. I'm tired of even trying, man. I'm out.
This website's great. This. Dude, did you say Christina Hendricks? What? Bubba, did you say what?
If you want to find some podcasts to keep you entertained for hours and hours, go to openforumradio.com.
So
yeah, I can probably sum up my Prison Break video game review in one sentence.
Okay, what?
Don't get it.
Oh, really? Is it that bad?
Oh, it's not that it's bad. It's not what I was expecting.
Oh, that's terrible. I mean, I'm not saying that as I really wanted to play it, but just
as
that
in,
I've been waiting
for this game for months.
Yeah.
And then it finally showed at my door. I play about an hour. I'm like, I'm done.
Oh, man, that's just...
It's going back.
That's a drag.
Because... Really, what it really is supposed to be is, it's supposed to be a character from season 1 that you never knew was there, but did important stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
But all it ends up being is sneaking around, avoiding guards and security cameras.
Is it at least, you know, easy achievements?
Well, I got 11 of those in an hour.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that on Raptor. So, that's a plus, I guess, right?
Yeah. But now it's going to be there forever.
True, but, you took a chance because you're a fan of the series, I mean.
I'm a fan of season 1.
Oh, okay.
You didn't like that, sir.
You didn't like any other seasons?
I got about halfway through season 2, and I'm like, this is not what I like from season 1. And I've heard it gets worse from there.
Oh, wow.
So I wasn't even going to try.
Well, that's a definite shame. America, the history of U.S. What's this?
The History of Us.
Oh, History of Us?
Yes. About a couple months ago, this was on the History Channel. It was actually very big. Patriot was actually talking about it back when it was on. But I finally got to watch it. Oh, my God, it is very good.
Really?
Yes.
You want to go into a little more detail than it was really good?
it's 12 episodes, and it goes from, you know, when, you know, the first colonists came over to America, and it ends with 2000, you know, with the 9/11 attack. But, like, it is probably... One of the most, how can I put this? The CGs in this series is probably the best I've really ever seen. And that coming from a History Channel, But it does skip a lot of stuff. Like, it doesn't talk about the War of 1812 or World War I. Just doesn't even talk about it.
that's kind of a big thing to skip. World War One.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
Huh. So you saw this on the History Channel? Like,
well, that's when it aired. It aired on the History Channel. Like, this is a History Channel product.
Okay. Now, where'd you watch this? Like,
I first saw it at work.
Okay.
Because, you know, I teach middle school kids. I follow this one kid around to all of his classes. In his history class, they started watching, you know, beginning of it. So I was like, I kind of like this. So that night, I went on iTunes because I knew it was there, and I bought it.
Okay. I was wondering if it was, like, on Netflix or anything.
Yeah, I didn't check.
Because I know they've added a lot of, like, History and Discovery Channel stuff. And
yeah, but, I really liked it, so I wanted to own it.
Alrighty.
And protected iTunes form.
Don't delete it. Don't make sure it does not get deleted. But yeah, I definitely recommend if you like it, then burn it to a disc.
So yeah.
And
then put it back on the computer, and then put it in a format I can watch on anything.
Exactly.
Because that's how you get around iTunes DRM.
Exactly.
At least that's the best way I found.
Yeah. I don't know any easier way than that, but I guess I'll jump into I guess the Borderlands new DLC, the Claptrap's new robot revolution. As a lot of people may know, I am a huge Borderlands fan. I mean, I am one of the biggest. I would definitely consider myself a fanboy of Borderlands. I have.
So would I.
Yes. I have accumulated over 250 hours in this one game alone. It's my highest played game, according to Raptor.
Which really gets me, because the game's not that long.
True.
Twice. I mean, there's playthrough number two, and it's.
Yes, but the thing is, you play. It's a co-op game. The game thrives on co-op. You know, playing Borderlands by yourself is totally a different game than co-op. And I guess the way I accumulated all these hours were from, you know, just jumping from one game to another, you know, with one group of friends and then another group of friends. And, you know, I'd play with my tag friends, and then I'd play with other friends that I met online and whatnot. And then you add in all the first three DLCs. That
I was going to ask you if you did a lot of the, you know, the random people.
If I did a lot of, if you mean if I played with random people?
Yeah.
No, I would only play with people I knew.
Because I tried that. And it ended up being, you know, one, like the host would just stand there and not do anything.
I gotcha.
And we really couldn't go anywhere.
Wow. That sucks, but yeah, I'm a big fan of this game, and with that said, this DLC, a lot of people are hating on it. I mean, a lot of people. Like, Destructoid gave it a 3 out of 10, but I think from what the review, I read the review, and from what I got from it, the guy played it single player. And like I said, it's a totally different game, single player. And he complained about a lot of stuff that, you know, I kind of enjoyed in the DLC. Like, one of the characters is, what's her name? Tanis, I think?
Mm-hmm.
She's all goofy, crazy, mad scientist-like in this DLC. And, you know, that was one of the writers from Destructoid's biggest, one of his complaints was because she seemed totally off character and whatnot, but
yeah, that's not the Tanis I remember.
And it didn't make any sense. Well, if you look at Borderlands, not that much does make sense in Borderlands, you know?
True.
it's got that goofy, weird humor to it. And, you know, that's the kind of thing I like. It does have the typical Borderlands humor, but it's in a different way. It's very, you know, in-game dialogue type. Like, the stuff the enemies will say, like, you'll have an enemy who will make, like, a Terminator reference. Come with me if you want to die. You know? And, you know, you would hear other references, like there's old Batman reference that I think Tannis says, and then she makes another reference to Galaxy Quest. And then you have, what is it? You have the Claptrap the whole time. There's, like, intercoms, you know, everywhere. And you'll have him, you know, just saying all kinds of stuff, you know. I guess, like,
Now, is this, you know, the revolution, is this brought up by one of the Claptraps that we met in the main, in the main story?
It's
or is it a different Claptrap?
The Interplanetarium Ninja Assassin Claptrap at the end of the story. Spoilers. But at the very end, you know, that was the little, like, you know, after credits, you know, special Easter egg thing. And he apparently got hired by this company, Hyperion, I think, yeah. And to kill, you know, the main characters, you know, the travelers, the hunters, you know, the vault hunters, yeah. And he comes to the planet, you know, at the end of the first game, and apparently he doesn't like the way the Claptraps are being treated, so he ends up being, you know, starting this robot revolution, you know, controlling all these other enemies and making kind of Claptrap versions of them. It's not what I thought it would be. They're not really two Claptrap versions of them. They are a little more robotic-like. Their voices are kind of like they've been auto-tuned through a Claptrap, you know, auto-tuned. So that's kind of funny. And they, most of the common bad guys have this, like, mind control device sticking out of their heads. So, you know, but the thing is, you know, the revolution, so the company that hired the Claptrap to kill you is now hiring you to kill the Claptrap. So, you know, there's some ironic humor right there. But yeah, I mean, there's not any real major cutscenes or anything in the game. Like I said, it's mostly in-game stuff. The stuff the bad guys say, the stuff through the intercoms, the Claptrap spewing out, you know, like Claptrap propaganda, basically. which is pretty funny. I mean, an example would be he would talk about, you know, if you do not cut us, do we not bleed? Of course we don't. We're like totally better than you, you fleshy bags, or just stuff like that. I mean, it's just the humor is very subtle. You know, you have to really pay attention to it. A lot of the missions are fetch quests, like the for example, they rehashed the zombie mission where you have to collect all the brains. This time you have to collect, like, components from Claptraps that you have to kill. Like,
it's wires, isn't it?
Wires, gears, and motherboards. And there are achievements tied to other items you have to find, like Clapfish, which are fish in, like, this little baggie. There's an achievement for getting 5 of those, 3 panties, and 15 pizzas. And it's
party. I saw you were complaining about the pizzas.
Yeah, those are probably one of the hardest things to find. is the, at least for me, is the pizzas. I mean, I'll go through an area to kill this, you know, this certain area where there's a bunch of clap traps, and I'll kill all of them, and I'll find, like, a bunch of clap fish. I'll find, you know, a bunch of, you gotta collect, like, 5 3D glasses, too, for an achievement. I'll find a bunch of those, and, you know, but I'll maybe only find one pizza every, like, 5 times I try to play that through that area. So it's really irritating, and
but you're the pizza guy. You're the guy who knows all about pizzas, though.
True, but it's just they're random loot drops, basically. And do they tie achievements to that? And that's what a lot of people are upset about. Even I'm upset about that. And I'm, you know, the huge one of the I'm probably the biggest Borderlands fanboy that I know.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, but, you know, and it doesn't help that there's a glitch if you get, like, if you get one achievement before you, if you get one, like, you gotta visit these claptrap statues that are, like, you know, statues of the claptraps, and you'll mm-hmm. click on it, and they'll say witty things, or one of the, you know, like, you're reading it, and it'll show witty things, and there's 6 of them throughout the whole DLC, and you have to find them. Well, if you find those before you do other achievements, then your game is glitched, and you can't get those achievements on that character's playthrough. And there's also, if you get the 3D glasses before you get the others, you can't get in any of them. But the Gearbox's forums, they, you know, quickly said, you know, this is the problem. This is definitely the problem. So, you know, here's the achievements that you have to get, you know, in order or whatnot. So, but it's a retroactive type thing. You know, when we patch it, when the patch comes out, which I'm guessing is the same patch as the 8 level cap up increase, which is going to be free, of course, but, so basically, whenever you get the patch, if you have the necessarily, you know, items, you'll automatically get those achievements. So that's kind of good, but it still sucks that you can't get those achievements, like, right then and there. That's a big problem with it. But, you know, I've played with a lot of people, and, you know, I've had a lot of fun. Playing co-op is one of the reasons why I'm still in gaming, and, you know, just a lot of people are dogging on it, but I'm still having fun playing it because I'm playing with, you know, friends. So I guess that's the main reason why I enjoy Borderlands so much, is all the friends I played with, and, you know.
Now, is this a DLC in-game, or can you just play this anytime, like the Zombie Wonder Mad Moxie?
You can play it anytime. It doesn't have to be story, nothing, you know. It has nothing to do with the story. It's side, I think.
Okay.
Although you may want, I don't know. No, you wouldn't have to. Well, yeah, there's some characters in that appear in this DLC, but I guess that you may think, who's that person, but I mean, you can still play it. So, yeah. I would definitely recommend it if you've got, you know, a group of friends who are willing to play it. Especially since, you know, they're about to raise the level cap with a free patch. So, you know, I would definitely wait for that patch to come out till you pick this up if anybody plans on picking it up. But, yeah. And if you do plan on picking it up, you know, gamertag, PodixSoul444, you know, I'm always down for Borderlands. But, yeah, that's about it for me on Borderlands. I haven't played too much of Dead Rising 2 because of Borderlands, which, I don't know, maybe I should have stopped Borderlands a little bit to play some more, but so far, I'm liking it. I like it a lot better than the first one. Right away, there are cutscenes. Like, not frequently, but towards the beginning, you know, you do something, it starts off cutscene, and then you have to do something. Well, let me break it down a little bit more in detail. You play as the main character is a different guy. He's not Frank West. He's Chuck Green, I think.
Yes.
Yes. I wasn't sure about the last name. But yeah, Chuck Green. And you start out with he's on, you know, the zombies are in this, you know, it's after the first one. So people are, you know, okay with the idea of zombies. And things are settled down, it seems. And you start off as this, in this reality TV show where you have to, like, kill zombies, I guess. This is reality or something like that. I don't know. Reality is horror or something like that. But, and then it goes to, you know, you get through the cutscene and then you're on a motorcycle with chainsaws, like dual chainsaws. And you're in like a swimming pool type area, you know, a drained swimming pool, you know, the bowl type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just rolling, trying to kill zombies, you know, just riding, killing zombies, turning around. And
see, that'd be the best part of the game. And they're giving it to you at the beginning.
Yeah. And there's also a mode to do that with other people, I guess a co-op mode.
No, well,
where you can do the reality game shows?
There is co-op, but there's also, like, competitive multiplayer.
Okay, so it's just competitive multiplayer. Okay. I haven't tried that yet, though, but that was really fun and really unique. And I got second place. I'm not sure if you can get first place or not, but the cutscene, you know, basically said, like, you know, mentioned how I was only second place and whatnot. So I'm thinking maybe you can't get first place. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they have cutscenes for if you do get first place or third or whatever. But the cutscenes, like I said, are really good quality and really good way to tell the story. And already I'm starting to like the story better. I mean, there's a lot more emotional connection since you're trying to, you know, not only do you have to, you got to clear your name because apparently the zombie outbreak happens, you know, right after your game show, and they have camera footage. The news team has camera footage, and it shows the back of the person, and it looks just like Chuck Green. So he's having to, you know, the whole thing will be he has to clear his name while, you know, making sure his kid has Zombrex, the medicine to, you know, I guess, treat a zombie bite or infection.
Yeah, okay, what it is, this is actually the second zombie outbreak. The first zombie outbreak happened, you know, Las Vegas was destroyed. So they rebuilt Fortune City. So that's why it's Fortune City and not Las Vegas.
Yes, and the somebody releases the zombies that are, like, trapped for the reality game show, and they think it's Chuck Green.
And this Zombrex is actually better than the Zombrex from the pre-DLC.
Yes, because it lasts 24 hours, so...
Yes.
The typical 3 days, whatever, you only have to get 3, but... It's still... The cutscenes show more of an emotional side than the first one, where it was just, you know, Frank West, and he didn't have a kid or anything, so... I don't know. I'm a sucker when it comes to, you know, I guess... on their relationships with a father and son or father and daughter. But I really like this. It's easier to get around the zombies than K-Zero.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my big complaints, was it was pretty hard getting around them. This time There's a lot of them, yes, but it's a lot easier, and there are a lot more weapons around to pick up. Like, just laying there on the floor. So, I mean, easily I was able to pick up a guitar, a baseball bat, another baseball bat, and something else. I can't remember. But, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I haven't tried the co-op. I got Dark DJ on Twitter. He sent me a reply and was like, if you need any help or want to play, just hit me up. So I may end up playing with him some co-op, but yeah, I'm definitely enjoying it. I just feel awful that I've been neglecting it for Borderlands, and it's going to be even worse because the Left 4 Dead DLC should be coming out sometime. I'm not sure if it's out now, but they said it was supposed to be released today, but then they said later this evening, so I don't know. So I may end up jumping on that if I don't, you know, start Dead Rising 2 as soon as we get done with this. That may be the only chance I get to play Dead Rising. I don't know. But, yeah, I was really hoping that Left 4 Dead 2 DLC would be released earlier today, so I'd be able to talk about it. But they did release the final comic, and I gotta say, if you played Left 4 Dead and you wanted to know anything about the characters' stories, then go to left4dead.com and or l4d.com and check out the comics. They're free. You know, you can view them on the site page by page. You can download the PDFs of them. You know, read them on your computer, read them on your iPhone, iPod Touch, whatever. But, yeah, I definitely would recommend them. They're really good. 170-something pages long. And they're free, so, you know, you can't beat free.
No, you can't.
Free comic books about video games characters, you know. But that's all I got to really talk about. Do you got anything else, Stuart?
Not really. No, I've just been watching Fullmon Alchemist Brotherhood and crying about Prison Break, the video game.
Yeah. Quick thing I do have to say. I'm totally digging Dexter right now. I just watched the latest episode and
I haven't seen it yet.
I wasn't planning on getting any details, but I really think I'm digging the way they're going with it. And, you know, we were wrong about some stuff, too.
I never said, you know, like, oh, we called the entire season, we're all right. No.
Yeah.
No.
But we did get a lot of stuff right.
Yeah, we did.
But, yeah, it's interesting. I'm definitely looking forward to more episodes to see how things turn out. And definitely waiting till all the whole series is done so we can talk Dexter Season 5.
Have our third Dexter episode.
Yes. Well, Dexter deserves it. I mean, yeah, I guess that's it. I guess we can start closing the show. You know, we are the Geeks for the Win. We are part of the Open Forum Radio Network where they're just coming up with new podcasts. I mean, I think there's currently 6 now.
I've lost count.
Including us. You know, besides us, there's the Open Forum Radio, the 40 cast, the sports cast, the Prove Your Point, the Angry Mailman podcast, and Zabari's Section Z, and I think they have the Pimpin' the Music show now.
Uh-huh.
So that's 7 or 8, or I don't know. But, yeah. So there's basically a show for almost everybody, you know.
Yeah, there really is, if you think about it. you know, they're, you know, want to talk about sports? You got the sports cast. Want to listen to a bunch of drunk guys talk? You got the 40 cast. You want to talk about video games? You got us and Zabari.
Yeah, and music, you know.
Music, you know. The
Zabari and Pimpin' the Music.
Yeah. You just want to hear a bunch of guys talk that are absolutely hilarious? You got the Angry Mailman podcast.
Definitely. Or if you want to hear interesting, you know, facts and about dogs, you know.
Yeah, like who's the smartest dog?
Definitely.
That was the latest episode.
Smartest and dumbest.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely podcast for everyone. And, you know, there's links to all those shows at openforumradio.com or our site, thegeeksforthewin.com. And, you know, if you want to leave us feedback, you can do it in multiple ways. You can leave us an email or send us an email at thegeeksftw@gmail.com. You can send us a reply or, I guess, if I don't know, how does the DM work again on Twitter? Like, you have to be following them, too?
Yeah, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, well, if you follow us, we'll probably end up following you. But anyways, you can, you know, reply to us on Twitter, and if you want to send us a DM, and we'll follow you if we're not already. But, you know, twitter.com/thegeeksftw. You can check out our Facebook page, and where we have, you know, if you can follow us on Facebook, right? Or like us or whatever.
Yeah, it's become a fan of us.
Yeah, become a fan. And, you know, every time there's an article that comes out, it'll automatically go to our Facebook feed. And you can find all these, you know, you can find links to all these on the website, so. Mm-hmm. Just
and there's also forums over at openforumradio.com. Just look under shows and Geeks for the Win.
That's right. And soon we will have a section, a link on our site for the forums.
Yes, maybe before this episode comes out.
Yes. So, you know, check that out. I guess we can get into shout-outs. Stuart?
I would like to shout out Elf for joining us and making me feel bad for not liking for not being a bigger anime fan.
Yeah,
but no. I would also like to shout out the Angry Mailman podcast, Alex and Bubba. They're hilarious. I just actually recently started listening to them, and they're hilarious.
Oh, definitely. I'm definitely enjoying their show. And I'm glad they're part of, you know, the Open Forum Radio Network now.
Yeah.
I still need to try to get them on our show. But, is that it?
All of the OFRN guys.
Yeah. Basically, I want to ditto the shout-out to Elf for coming on the show. I really enjoyed talking about anime, and now I have a list of animes to watch, you know, new ones to watch. Some I may not like, some I'm probably definitely going to like. Just depends. I want to shout out the Forgetful from the Talking About Gamers podcast, Deshane from Talking About Gamers, TalkingAboutGames.com, and iFester, and, you know, the regular people I play with, because, they're always there, you know, whenever I need help with, you know, playing something, I can always count on them to play, you know, co-op or help me get a certain achievement. So shout out to all of them. And that's pretty much it. You know, that's been episode 21 of the Geeks for the Win podcast. And I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye.